something that I came to know on the way back from Simhachalam was that some of the local devotees know much more about the details of the deities and the festivals than I had heard, because they speak Telugu and they heard from the priests many wonderful descriptions of the histories of those deities. But before we begin that, one of the details that I heard, well, something that I didn't present in the katha, was that when Pururava, King Pururava, remember him? He was requested by Lord Nrisimhadeva to worship him in a particular way. So first was cleaning away the anthill, and then next was big abhishek, which they continue to do until today, on the day that they remove all the chandan. So Pururava offered a prayer to Mother Ganga that she please appear and allow her celestial waters to bathe Lord Nrisimhadeva. So Ganga came personally, and Pururava gathered water from the Ganga, same as the, as far as I know, it's the same name as where the Ganga flows into the ocean, Ganga Sagara. That's what's called. Near where we were having kirtan, very close by, there's a part of the mountain where there's a continuous flow of Ganges water. It's not from melting snow. It's coming from some other place. Let the geologists figure that one out. Since the time of King Pururava, the Ganges has been flowing right there. Down the mountainside, continuous streams, so they always have fresh water, uncontaminated by factories and all the other stuff. So what I heard was that during that day, because I was asking, what's it like? Have you been there on the day when they have that big festival? Must be gazillions of people all trying to single file their way through and see the deity. They said, yeah, they've been there. And the deity is a bas relief deity, very clear, the visible form of about 2.5 feet tall. What are you supposed to do like this? So, black stone, very clearly the form of Varaha's face. One of his legs is entering into the earth, and his nails and his tail, Lord Nrisimhadeva. Nails and tail and the body of a man, half lion, half Varaha. And very special is in the evening, if you're either A, a Sri Vaishnava, or B, 25,000 rupee person, or C, just very lucky, then from 11 o'clock at night until 3 o'clock in the morning, there's an abhishek. The first part of the abhishek, the priests do, panchagavya substances. And then comes the water. They have a ceremony. They just like Indradumna Sarovar, bringing the water. The 100 clay pots of... And it's, that becomes the water that one by one, the Vaishnavas go forward and physically bathe the deity with surrounding in that little area, standing in line for however many hours till they get their turn and bathe the deity. And it's rivers of water coming, flowing out the sides, and they have buckets to gather the charanamrita. And it's very much, the priests take it home their Charanamrita supply for a while. And they distribute in little packets the chandan, 480 kgs of... I mean, those of us that traveled internationally to get here, what's the allowable weight limit, kgs of a piece of luggage? 23 kgs, right? Average. You know how heavy 23 kgs piece of luggage is when it's like full? It's heavy. How many times does 23 go into 480? How heavy is all the chandan? They must like really pack it. Not like fluff it, pack it. Because the deity is 2.5 feet tall. And Hari Lila was describing in that the mountainside, that mountain and the facing mountain is filled with fruit trees and various edible, naturally supplied by nature, edible items, jackfruit, sitapal. Of course, in season it's like, it's jackfruits everywhere, or it's sitapal everywhere, or it's cashews. What are the other items? Mangoes. Champak flowers. Abundantly supplied. So there's fresh water. Although they're so remote, there's fresh water. I was wondering. There was a leak in the pipe, and this water's sprouting everywhere, and I was wondering, where did they get all that water pressure? Must be a powerful pump. It's not a powerful pump, it's the Ganges flowing down the mountainside. And all the natural things that they want. How many of you got a palm full of tulsi leaves? And they gave, where's Nanda Gopal, a whole packet of at Andal's feet, there was all this pile of kunkum. So that he took this bunch of kunkum. I was commenting, wow, it's a big pile right at her feet. Took a whole bunch and put it in a newspaper thing, wrapped it up, and handed it to Nanda Gopal. We'll distribute. So, what to worry? Just worship the Lord. So I'm going to invite, rather than him telling me and I'm telling you, he can just tell you, Navayovana, who can probably remember a good part of what he heard from the... You've heard it many times, right?
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Romapada Swaminita Namine Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sandubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Thank you very much, Maharaj. I seek your blessings to be able to speak something which is purifying to my heart and which serves the purpose for which you asked me to speak. So Simhachalam, there are many hidden glories of Simhachalam which are not easily known unless we know the people around here. So beginning with the deities, as you might have heard a lot from Maharaj. The deity is from the Satya Yuga and the story of Puruvava Chakravarti has been described already, so I will not speak about that. This hill is the hill from which Prahlad Maharaj was thrown down by Hiranyakashipu. You might have heard that also. So later on Prahlad requested the Lord that I would like to see you in a form in which both my father and my uncle were killed. So that is how this form manifested. So apparently when Prahlad Maharaj was being thrown down the hill, the Lord wanted to rescue him immediately. And he did not take Garuda. So he came by foot. The Lord was running to save Prahlad. And Garuda, feeling left out, beg the Lord, my dear Lord, please allow me to serve you. I assure you, I will go very fast. So the Lord, wanting to give that service to Garuda, he got on Garuda's back, and Garuda was flying as fast as he could. But it was not as fast as the Lord wanted. So then the Lord started feeding him with nectar so that he could go faster. And still he couldn't generate the speed that the Lord wanted. So as he was approaching the hill where Prahlad was being thrown from, the Lord disembarked from Garuda and started running. So as he was running, his feet would dig into the ground and it would form deep holes, and therefore his feet was not visible. When he was running to save Prahlad, his feet was not visible. So in this form of the Lord, the Lord's lotus feet is not visible. When the deity is revealed, you will find that his lotus feet is beneath the ground, and one hand is feeding nectar to in the same gesture as he was feeding nectar to Garuda, the hand is in that form. And the back of his form is a lion's back with a tail, and the face of Varaha, and the rest is a man-like form. The place on which the deity is standing, you would have seen there is a silver pedestal. Beneath the silver pedestal are countless Shalagram Shilas. Count, they cannot be counted there. Phenomenal number of Shalagram Shilas there. And some of them you will find on the plate in front of the deity. If you had noticed, there is a plate of a variety of Shalagram Shilas. Most of them are Narsingdev Shilas, but some other Shilas are also there. But generally the place is so crowded that you will not get an opportunity to hear from the priest an explanation of that. So they are always busy doing their pujas and all that. So the tradition behind this place is very rich. Of course there are the deities, but the people who live there, who have been carrying this tradition, and these some of the families who live in this place are as old as 900 to 1000 years old, and they still have their, they know their lineage. It is those kind of families. They come down from Ramanujacharya. The worship was in between after Pururava Chakravarti left. The worship was discontinued for some time, and then again revived by Ramanujacharya. This worship, as we see currently, is the one which was instituted by Ramanujacharya. And there are many families who are still existent, who are coming from those original times when Ramanujacharya instituted this worship. There are a few other deities inside which you might have seen. One is Goda Devi, another is Simavalli Thayar, and then there is Alvar Sannidhi. So when you come out after taking darshan of Lord Narasimhadev, to your right you find the Kappasthambam. You would have noticed that. That is a place where it's a wish-fulfilling pillar. And there are many wonderful stories of devotees who have fulfilled, very recent ones also, where devotees, no, they don't have children, they go, they hug the pillar and they pray for a child and they get a child. And many of them will be named as, again, either the name of Lord Narasimhadev, or as if it's a girl, they will name after Simhavalli. Because behind the Kappasthambam, you will find the deity of Simhavalli Thayar. Thayar means mother. So this is the consort of Lord Narasimhadev. There are two deities inside. One is Lord Narasimhadev himself. That is called the Mula deity, Moolavar. Then there is a Utsava Vigraha. If you have noticed, he is called Govindaraja Swami. You got darshan of the deity on the right side. He would be on the right side, Govindaraja Swami. So all the festivals are conducted with Govindaraja Swami. So he is called Utsavar. Utsavar means one who attends the festivals, who presides over the festivals. Sorry. So he presides over the festivals in this place. There are many wonderful festivals. These Vaishnavas, they really love festivals. One thing about Simhachalam is that although many temples have degraded over time, people have become money minded, the Vaishnavas have started doing that Shalagram Shila Badam Banga, but in this place, amazingly, people have been very pure. They are very faithful to the deity. At least, say, when I first saw this deity, it was 1993. There has been degradation from then, of course. I have seen some degradation taking place. There are visible symptoms of degradation, Kali taking its toll. But still, given what is around, what we see around in South India, in many of the Vaishnava temples, this temple stands far above the standards that we see in other places. The first thing that you will notice is the temple opens at 3:30, which is not normally seen even in many other Vaishnava temples, where people are very strict till they open at 7 or so. But this temple, they open at 3:30. The priest comes, he carries a pot on his head, goes walking to Gangadhara with the drums and the band. There will be a traditional band with Manadaswaram, and there's another kind of drum in South India which makes a lot of sound. They use a stick on one side and fingers with hard coverings, and they beat the drums. A beautiful instrument, very captivating. It's used in festivals, marriages and any festival for the Lord. So he goes 3:30 in the morning, he goes to the Gangadhara, fills the pot with water, carries it on his own head. Nobody else can touch that pot. Either the chief priest himself or the priest whom he assigns can only do that service. So he comes in the morning with this, with all the paraphernalia around him and the music, and he comes and he bathes the deity in the morning. So this is a very special tradition here that is not open to public. Only the Vaishnavas themselves can see it. Nobody else can enter at that time. Darshan is open only at 7:30. After all, the Shringar and everything is open. Over. So after this is done, they have an elaborate worship for the deity, which is full of recitation of prayers and decorating the deity. The Govindaraja Swami deity, every day there is a marriage performed for him. There are two deities on either side of him. They are Sri and Bhu, two deities. So every day it's called Nitya Kalyanam. There is a Kalyana Mandapam. When you come out of the temple, you will see a Kalyana Mandapam, something. It has many legs. Typically they call it Ayram Kal Mandapam, which means thousand-legged Mandapam. Mandapam means hall. Just like this is a Kalyana Mandapam. That is the actual Kalyana Mandapam. These are imitation Kalyana Mandapams. So in that Kalyana Mandapam, every day they perform marriage for the deity. So somebody sponsors it. There's a list of people there's always a booking, and you have to wait for their turn, and it's done very, very beautifully. And the chief priest himself conducts it every day. It starts at around 9 o'clock. So this deity, they do some worship for the deity in the morning from 3:30 to 7:30, both for the Moolavar as well as for Govindaraja Swami. And then after all that is over, 7:30, the darshan is open to the public. Now Simhavali Thayar, you will not generally see worship being conducted for Simhavali Thayar like it is done for the Lord, but they have a very systematic worship. But that is done only by the Vaishnavas. Most of the time you go, you will find the deity door is locked, but you can offer obeisances. And next to that is, you will find a series of small deities with Ramanujacharya in the center, tall deity of Ramanujacharya. This will be a stand. Wherever you go, Sri Vaishnava temples, you will find this particular sannidhi. Sannidhi means altar. This altar will always be there. This is the place where they worship the Acharyas. They have a very strong tradition of worshipping the Acharyas. This is one glory of this place. Everybody recognizes that whatever they do is only by the mercy of the Acharyas. In fact, this is something we can note. There are many traditional lessons we can learn from this place, both positive as well as negative. The positive is that they have a very, very strong tradition, which is strongly grounded on philosophical understandings. The negative part is that they are unable to maintain it without actually taking shelter of a current spiritual master, without a current representative giving them deep shelter. And they are accepting that shelter, they are unable to maintain it. And they also recognize it. And that is one reason that they very much appreciate Srila Prabhupada's family. They have very deep appreciation. But that was not the case when I came here newly. I used to see that when, Krishna Smarana Prabhu used to visit us, and we used to go and do kirtan there. They used to be somewhat condescending, sometimes even disdainful of the whole thing. You know, what is this chanting and dancing and kirtans? And it was not a very welcoming mood. But over the years, they have grown to understand that this is real. These people, they have a very strong Acharya lineage, and they respect that particular principle very deeply. In fact, whenever they express appreciation for devotees of Srila Prabhupada, followers of Srila Prabhupada, the most prominent point they note is that they are very faithful to the Acharya. They like it, because that is their tradition, which they are losing now. And they are very worried that they are losing it. But they don't know what to do about it. So, all their prayers in the morning, are centered around the acharyas. They have different, they have two main one main book, which is the Divya Prabandham, which is from which they recite the prayers. And particularly this month is called Dhanur Masam, which in Tamil they call Margari, and I think it would be equivalent of our Maga. I'm not sure, it comes in November, December. It's a very special month for them. They all rise very early. Typically the worship for the deity is 3:30 every day, but all the Vaishnavas don't rise at 3:30. The pujari who does the worship rises and he does it. But during this month, all of them rise up at 3:30. They take their baths. They have a ritualistic bath. It's a ceremony. It's something which they do for purification, not just an ordinary bath. They have a lot of procedures. They chant the mantras.
Is it okay, Maharaj, am I describing all these things?
Yeah.
They have detailed procedures of taking this bath. And then they recite prayers from a specific book, one of the Divya Prabandhas. Divya Prabandha has 4,000 songs composed by the Alvars. So sorry, the way I came into this is because we were speaking about the Alvars. The Alvars are very important for these person, for this line of Vaishnavas. There are 12 Alvars, if I'm right. I may be making a mistake with that one. There are 12 Alvars, and the youngest of them is Goda Devi, whom you would have, from where you got the kumkum. That is the youngest of the Alvars. That deity is a recent deity. I'll come to the story as I go around. I come to a full circle. I'll come last to Goda Devi and tell her history also. So these Alvars, they composed, their literatures are called, these Vaishnavas, they have, the learned persons in their sampradaya are called Ubhaya Vedanta. Ubhaya Vedanta means they are learned both in the Sanskrit Vedas as well as in the Tamil Vedas. The Tamil Vedas are the Divya Prabandhas. These Divya Prabandhas were composed by the Acharyas. They are inspired poetry, very deeply philosophical, and very much centered around descending mercy. It talks about descending mercy. The principle of these Divya Prabandhas is descending mercy. So among them, Tripavai, it consists of 30 songs sung by Andal, which is sung every day in this month. Each day, there are 30 songs, there are 30 days. Each day, they sing one of these songs and they decorate the deity in one particular Alankar, Govindarajaswami. One day it is Narsimha Alankar, one day it is Krishna Alankar, one day it is Rama Alankar, different Alankars on different days. They have a festival and the deity comes out in the evening. Govindarajaswami comes out around 5:30 or 6:30 in the evening, and I think that would have finished by now. That festival would have finished by now, by this part of the month. It doesn't last the whole Margashirsha month. And the deity goes on procession round the hill. You would have noticed there is a road, circular road in front of the temple. So the deity goes on procession, is carried on a palanquin, and there are both the traditional drums as well as the modern drums. They engage everybody in service, and they carry fire torches and constant recital of mantras, prayers. These Vaishnavas, they are very chaste in their recitations. One thing you will notice about these people, if you interact closely with them, they are very simple. They are not ostentatious. They're not looking for money. Nobody will ask you for a single penny. In fact, sometimes it's very surprising. They're too pure. But of course, their next generation is unable to keep up that standard. But at least the present people, of course there's a whole range of Vaishnavas, but some people who are holding the place together, they're very pure. And they are the ones who usually chant these mantras. They put their heart into it. They vibrate these mantras so powerfully. And the people are drawn into it. They all come, the whole population of that place, around the hill. We don't find so many visitors coming from outside, but the Vaishnavas do come, and they go around the hill, walk around the hill, and the deity goes back inside. He gives darshan to everybody and goes back inside. That is an evening festival. So in that they sing all the songs of the Alvars. Different Alvar songs are sung, and then, so that is Alvar Sanidhi. There is regular worship done in the Alvar Sanidhi also, which we cannot see. So they do it in the 3:30 to 7:30, their private time. That is when the worship of all the other deities is done. So prominent among them is Ramanujacharya. He is like their founder Acharya. So all their prayers, all their worship begins with prayer to Sripad Ramanujacharya, and they are very strongly connected to him. And then as we go along, you will find a simhasana, one stone simhasana you might have noticed when you are going around. That is the place, and there is a deity of Ramanujacharya behind that. That is the place Ramanujacharya used to sit and deliver lectures when he visited this place. And the people would all sit in the courtyard and hear from him. No microphones, I mean, no loudspeakers, but a large crowd. He would sit on that simhasan and he would speak. So, and then we go around, we come to, there is a deity, small deity, Satyanarayana, the Lakshmi Narasimha, sorry, Lakshmi Narasimha deity. That is where they do their samskaras, like Annaprashana or Aksharabhyasa for the children, and their local samskaras for the people who visit the temple. They want to do some samskara that is done in front of that deity. So always you will find that place, something is always going on, particularly in the morning hours. And the last deity in the circle, at least in the larger deities, is Goda Devi. Goda Devi, as I already mentioned, is the youngest of the Alvars. She is the only lady Alvar. And this deity was not originally there in this temple. About maybe 300 to 400 years ago, when the fishermen in this place were went out fishing, and they threw their net, and they bagged in their net this deity of Goda Devi. So they were very surprised. What is it? And they brought here, and because Simhachalam is the primary shrine in this place, they brought to the Vaishnavas here, and the Vaishnavas immediately recognized her as Goda Devi. And she was immediately installed, and a great festival was conducted. And on that day, even now, the fishermen community come here, and they are the most prominent participants in that festival. I have not seen that festival till now, but I have heard about it. But that is the history of that Goda Devi deity. All the offerings are brought and offered to Goda Devi. They will not be taken into the main shrine. You would have seen everything here is named after Ramanujacharya. Ramanuja Kudam is there. Kitchen and the place where the Vaishnavas take their prasadam. It is outside the precincts of the main temple, where you walk around, where I described all these deities. You just come out, there is an outer circle. So when you come out of Goda Devi Sannidhi, on the outer circle is their kitchen, where they do the cooking. They are very particular, very strict. Only Vaishnavas cook here. Nobody else can cook. So therefore they are having a tough time, because no more Vaishnavas want to be cooks. The younger Vaishnavas, in fact, recently I heard one priest telling me, they are worried they will not get good wives if they maintain this profession. So, nobody wants to be cooks, nobody wants to be pujaris. They are very worried, what is going to happen to the future of this tradition? And government is recruiting, government, it's now run by the government, it's taken over by the government. Although still the traditional pujaris are still there, but government is introducing policies of recruiting people through interviews. If you learn their system, although still the recruiters are still Vaishnavas, fortunately, so they still maintain recruiting people from Vaishnava families, but that may not last for very long. But still, despite all odds, they maintain that strong tradition of only Vaishnava cooks cooking. They are very strict, they are very austere, extremely austere persons. They will not touch anything till all their cooking is over. It's a very it's cooking on firewood. Now, of course, they have some gas burners, but largely the cooking is on firewood still. And they cook a lot of laddus, pongal, pulihara. Morning, they make offering of pongal. Pongal is, you will get it here also, white preparation, white rice preparation, spiced with little dal. And pulihara and laddus are the main offerings. They also offer sweet rice and rava laddus. So these are the main offerings. And the offerings keep coming. If you stand in front of the deity, you will find that continuously offerings keep coming. They keep cooking and keep sending the offerings to the deities, to Goda Devi. Only Vaishnavas will carry it. They cook it, they carry it, they offer it, they deliver it to the counter, and they distribute it. Nobody else can touch the offerings. This tradition is still maintained. Then there are, in the evening, after all the worship is over, again there is a private festival which others cannot attend. Of course, you can attend. There is a 100 rupee per head fee, but many people do not know about this festival. So you can always find yourself free to attend this festival. It's around 7 o'clock it starts. There is a Shayana program. It's not exactly Shayana Arati, because after that again they open for darshan, but it is something equivalent to our Shayana Arati. So, but that is very elaborate. They have again a series of rituals. One thing about their rituals is that they are not rituals like, they still remember the purpose. They still remember the purpose, and they glorify the acharyas, and they remember that this is because of the acharyas we have these things, and they want to do it very faithfully
according to the way the acharyas have instituted it. And they perform a fire sacrifice inside the temple. You would have noticed there is a homakunda near the kapastambam. In that, every day evening there is a fire sacrifice conducted. The offerings thrown into it, and then the offerings made to all the dwarapalakas who are guarding the temple. And all that is done, and there is a huge lamp which they offer to the deity. It's a tower-like lamp. You know? Many lamps and many lamps and many lamps and like this. And then they offer many small lamps. It's a lamp festival. Many lamps are offered, and the brahmanas would be reciting the Vedic mantras. Their Vedic mantras, I mean, is the Divya Prabandhas. They'll be reciting mantras from the Divya Prabandhas. And then go around the temple. Then the smaller deity will go on a procession again inside the temple. And then the smaller deity is put to rest and again open for darshan, last darshan of the day. It's around 8 o'clock to 8:30. And then the temple is closed. These are the daily festivals in the temple. Afternoon there is bhoga and bhoga arati. That also will not be open to public, that particular festival. Apart from this, there are seasonal festivals. Like Akshay Tritiya is the day that the chandana is removed from the deity. Before Akshay Tritiya, they have a festival. Although they do every day kalyanam for the deity, every day marriage for the deity, there is a particular kalyanam which is very special when they invite the whole of, you know, Vishakhapatnam and everywhere. They advertise all over the place, and just as much crowd as is there for Akshay Tritiya. There are three main days when the temple is really crowded. Akshay Tritiya, the day the chandan is removed, this festival which I am talking about, this kalyanam, and the third one is Mukkoti Ekadashi, Vaikuntha Ekadashi. One previous to that, Mokshada Ekadashi, according to our calendar. That Ekadashi, they call it Vaikuntha Ekadashi. So these 3 days, you may take 8 hours to get darshan if you are standing in the most inexpensive queue, and you may get darshan in about 3 to 4 hours if you are standing in the most expensive queue, which is about 500 rupees. So during this kalyanam, the Lord comes out into the public. There's a huge ground outside. I think now they have made a mandapam there in that place. They have constructed a mandapam. Earlier it was an open ground. So the deity comes there, and of course it's a televised show. Everybody can watch it over television also. And a full kalyanam is done for the deity. Before that, the deity goes on a ratayatra. There is only ratayatra that they conduct here. There may be others, but I have not noticed others. There may be having others, I might not have noticed. But this is the only one which is advertised, where everybody is invited. So the ratha, just like our ratayatra festivals, everybody comes, holds their, there are two ropes, and they recite the mantras. Instead of kirtan, they have these mantra recitations. It's the same, the holy name they recite in different. And they like Hare Krishna kirtan. They like it very much. And as the ratha is being pulled, people from behind and in front, they take opportunity to either touch the cart or pull the rope, and the cart goes around. It goes a very slow motion around. It takes about an hour to complete the whole circle, that car street in front of the deity. Then the deity is taken off and taken to the Kalyana Mandapam for the conduct of the marriage. The whole festival would start somewhere around 6 o'clock and complete around 12 o'clock. And that is one. Then you would have seen one Garuda, huge Garuda deity. There are different sevas which are offered to the deity. Those deities are taken out only when somebody sponsors that kind of a festival. So there is a Garuda seva, then the Lord comes and sits on the Garuda and he is carried on procession around the temple. Akshay Tritiya is the most important festival for them. The austerity of these Vaishnavas is very, very inspiring. You know, it's very difficult to conceive how somebody would be able to do something like this. Their fasting starts one day previous to Akshay Tritiya, and they would not touch food, no water. And it is not just sitting down. There are so many things to do. It's constant service. So I don't know what all they do, but they are fully busy the day previous to Akshay Tritiya. And that day night, they have to remove the chandan from the deity, which is a very laborious task, and nobody else other than the Vaishnavas can touch the deity. So 480 kgs of chandan, they remove it overnight. They don't sleep, no sleep that day night. And next day morning, there will be lakhs and lakhs of people for darshan. And people would be standing in queue. They would come and sleep overnight in the queue to get the darshan. Darshan would go on till about maybe 9:30, 10 for public darshan. The festival will continue till next day morning. And then after the remove all the chandan, And of course nowadays the tradition is, you know, that the government takes the chandan now. So the priests have to really struggle hard to get there. That is why even today when devotee was asking chandan, earlier the priests used to get and they would have a little soft corner for us, they would give us a little bit or something. But now it's very difficult. Even the priests have to fight for their little quota of chandan. And then the government takes it, and they have their different times, it is different ways they distribute it. Sometimes they used to distribute on the same day of the festival. Last year they distributed sporadically. Suddenly they would one day open the counter, distribute for 1 hour and then close it. So if you are there, you get it. If you are not there, you don't get it. So in this way, in about 10 days, 15 days, they finish the quantity of chandan. And of course there are others, ministers and this and that, some of it goes off like that. So it's very premium. The chandan is very premium from the deity. So overnight they remove the chandan, and in the morning we can take darshan of the deity. And after the evening, full day, it is continuous. The priests are busy. You will see them sweating like anything. It says, now this AC is some AC they have put. This is very recent thing. 1 year ago they entered, but earlier it was very hot, and they would all be sweating. And they are not taking water. They are not taking food. Some of them, the less, the younger ones of them would look really exhausted. But you know, you can see that they are just dropping off. But the strong older ones carry them, and they are very, the really committed devotees there are really powerful Vaishnavas, very powerful personalities. Then they, after the around 9:30 or 10, they have their own festival where all the Vaishnavas would come inside, like Maharaj was describing. Few people from outside would come, I think like Maharaj said, 25,000 rupees tickets. And that also is not easy to get, it's not, they are very limited, everybody cannot get it. In that festival, they bathe the deity with Gangadhara water. Gangadhara has two streams, one is coming on this side of the hill, and there is another one which falls on the other side of the hill, and both are perennial. You will never find it, the peak summer, there is no water anywhere, you will find plenty of water in Gangadhara, and we don't know which is the source. Where is the source also is not known, it just flows from the hill, water just keeps flowing all the time. So those two streams on two sides of the hill, one is called Madhavadhara, another is called Gangadhara. And according to these Vaishnavas, early in the morning, 3:30, all the great universal sages come to take bath in the Gangadhara there. And if somebody has the capacity, devotional capacity, they can see them, see these sages taking bath there. There are certain times of the year when they don't recommend people going on the hill in the night times, because Lord Narasimhadev is apparently, within quotes, prowling the hill. There are times like that also which are described. There is one day of the year which is called Giri Pradakshanam, when people take production of this hill, this whole Simhachalam hill, which means they walk around the Vaisak city, go around the Vaisak city through the national highway, around the city and come. In the night, full night they walk around, maybe taking a full day, night and maybe half a day to complete the parikram probably. That also comes sometime in, I'm not sure of the date, maybe in July or December, one of these times. So this is the other festival. So I didn't complete the Akshaya Tritiya part. So they bathe the deity in Gangadhara, and next day morning they are still not slept. They have not slept from the day previous to Akshaya Tritiya. So they start covering the deity back with chandan. But the deity is not covered in one go. The first day the deity is very slim. They do it in three parts. First day you will see a slim deity, and then in a period of about a month or so, I'm not very sure the exact.
The next Purnima.
Next Purnima. So by that time they complete the full, in three phases, they complete the full chandan covering. And you can all during the time, whenever you go to the temple, you will find about 10 people, 10 or 12 people grinding chandan, constantly grinding, huge logs of chandan. They would be grinding. You will see even now, you can see the stones arranged around the, in front of, when we cross Godadevi, when you are facing Godadevi to the right, you will find the stones on which they grind the chandan. So logs of chandan, people will be standing and grinding. Throughout the day they grind, because so much chandan is required. So this is Akshaya Tritiya. Then Moksha, that Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. Earlier, till recently, maybe a year or two ago, they changed this tradition. But before that, only three occasions in a year, this deity would be dressed, will be given a kavacha of Lord Narasimha in his Ugra Rupa, in full form. It's about maybe 6-7 feet tall kavacha with four arms, holding a club in his hand, bright red eyes and teeth, visible big teeth. So in that form he would be worshipped on Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. And there are two other occasions when they do it, which I don't remember now.
Where is that worship go on? 6 foot tall Lord Shingade.
On front of this. They will tie that kavacha to this deity, the present existing deity. That kavacha would be placed in front of this deity and then tied around this deity. So at that time we can see this deity only if you go behind the kavacha. We can see this deity. So that is now, but now they have made this worship every Thursday. Every Thursday this worship is going on. So we can see that deity on Thursdays. And they also do what is known as a Swarna Pushparchana. They have golden flowers actually made of real gold. So that is done in the morning, early morning on that day, Thursdays. Early morning they will worship the deity with real golden gold flowers. As the gold flowers are offered and offered, it becomes a mountain pile of gold flowers. By the time the worship is over, then they collect it and put it back in their stronghold. They have a strong room. So these are some of the prominent festivals in this place. There are many small Narsingadeva deities on the walls, and they all have their significance. I do not know all of them. Some of them are broken and some of them are eroded because so many devotees holding their lotus feet. They were eroded over time, but they all have some history behind them, which I am not aware of. And there are inscriptions all over the walls which describe all these things. Some things about the tradition of this, traditions in this place. The Vaishnavas here, they are very learned, highly learned personalities. But the pressure from the government and their own, they do not have a concept of taking shelter of a spiritual master. This is my experiences with them. They don't have a concept of taking, they have a system that the father initiates the son and he continues the worship in this way. Although they know very well that there is a disciplic succession, they have to take shelter of the acharyas, but somehow they are unable to actually do it in their lives. And that is why they see that when we actually follow this principle very strongly, it attracts them. But so I don't know what is blocking them. Maybe they don't have they're not able to connect to a personality who is able to give them that mercy to actually do that in their lives. But they appreciate that principle very much. I think I have covered most of the points which I know of. There are many other things. We can, as I said, there are some things which we can learn from them. They are very large-hearted in one sense. In the sense, although they have their traditions and they have like the discussion between Venkatapatta and Lord Chaitanya. Finally, Venkatapatta says, "Although I accept what you say, but I would like to continue my whatever I am doing." I hope I am saying it rightly, Maharaj. They have a similar mood. They know very well that this is the right thing. In fact, the chief priest was mentioning that the glory of the Hare Krishna religion, is the word he used, is that you are inclusive. You include everybody. This is what is needed in this age. In one side we are finding that our people are unable to maintain our tradition. On the other side, there are so many intruders who are coming into our culture. He was referring to the Christians. So much Christian preaching. And on the third, there are so-called Hindus who are coming up with new concepts of religion, which is a revolt against Brahmanical culture, where they have, there are many, you will see some people wearing black dress, red dress, green dress. These are all people who are creating a new religion, where they themselves are the worshippers, they themselves are the, revolt against Brahmanical, in his own words. He said, whereas in the Hare Krishna movement, you have educated people, you have a strong culture of education, so the people are uplifted. And they actually begin to understand these principles very deeply. Therefore, they are able to support Brahmanical culture. Whereas we are unable to do it, we are losing it. I don't know what to do about it. So this kind of an acknowledgement and feeling the need for something, but although they don't know what is the solution, this is a very positive thing in this place. Very, very encouraging. So there is a hope that somehow they will take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and they will revive their culture. There has been a lot of revival of this culture since there has been Sankirtan in this place. They have become more committed to their own tradition. Many of their children, they have developed an appreciation for their own culture through the Sankirtan process that has taken place in this place in the last 10 or 12 years. Many of their children have revitalized that, and some of them have been sending their children to Vedic schools now to learn the Vedic culture. I mean, they go through that, they have their own Gurukula system. And even recently I met one boy who was reciting the Vedic mantras, and there is some revival taking place, but they really need Srila Prabhupada's mercy to actually revitalize their fading culture. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Please accept me.
Don't go anywhere. Any questions?
I have some with me. I have promised Govind Prabhu so that I'll bring it tomorrow. But that is all I have with me. So
we made an attempt today, and very much like what he said, the government snatched it, and they can't liberally. Anyone else? Question?
Can you describe for us the Sankirtan activities that you have here in Shankarpatham?
Sorry for asking. Oh, Sankirtan. Yeah, it's mainly when Krishna Swarna Prabhu comes, he conducts Sankirtan on the hill. And they like it very much. They have developed a lot of affection for him. And through that relationship, they have developed a deep appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. That they developed. Firstly, they have developed a liking for the chanting of the holy name, which they did not have in the beginning.
He wants to hear, like, what is that presentation like?
He does not speak. Originally, we did not. There was no presentation of philosophy. Just Harinam Sankirtana. Just Harinam Sankirtana in that place.
Moving, sitting.
Some of it moving, and some of it because he has his yatras here. So there are, he conducts his classes and does kirtans, and some of them come and attend. They just like to sit and hear. They would come, attend, and go back. They would come back and express their appreciation. And so in that sense, through that, they have developed some deeper appreciation of, and they have expressed themselves that our own appreciation for our acharyas, as even recently I had one of the chief worshippers, who is probably going to become the next chief priest, he was saying that it's such a loss that we have lost this tradition of devotion to the acharyas. And it is such a fortune that we are getting it back in this way now. So that is the. What are? Alvar. Alvar means they are inspired saints. They are like, great saintly personalities who were actually eternal associates of the Lord, who appeared to disseminate the teachings. They are acharyas. Basically, they are acharyas. Ar means depth. Alvar means very deep personalities. They are oceanically deep in their realizations, in their devotion. So they revealed the teachings of the Vedas in Tamil language. And most of those teachings were lost. But later on, one of the Alvars, I don't know his name, somebody may know who he was. He got them all back by inspiration. Namalwar, right? He got them all back and he set it to music. So now all the Alvars, all the 4000 Divya Prabandhas are available in musical form. And they propagated it through music, they preserved it through songs and music, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottamadas Thakur. They are equivalent of these personalities. The first Alvar appeared 1 week after Krishna's departure. And the last Alvar was somewhere, Godadevi, maybe just before Ramanujacharya. Yes, ma'am.
Repeat the question.
I couldn't get the question. Could you repeat it again?
Time up, please.
It's a nice question. Mataji is asking, you mentioned about the father's initiating the son, and in that line, so is it possible that other people also become Vaishnavas? It is only Vaishnavas within their own families. No, other people cannot be. That is exactly what they were, one of the leading person was lamenting, that we have created a culture where it is family, within the family, the Vaishnavas, only the Brahmanas initiate their own, and nobody else can be included into their family. It's exclusive, it's not inclusive. Whereas Lord Chaitanya's movement, it's not that way in their original teachings.
No, not at all.
It's not like that. And he recognizes that. He says we have deviated along the line somewhere. But the original teachings are not like this. Because Ramanujacharya was inclusive, he included everybody. So, it's not, at least the way Sri Vaishnava tradition is prevailing, it's not inclusive. Yes, he is asking, there are offerings made to Goda Devi. Are there offerings made to the main deity? Yes, there are. Particularly in the night, thank you for this question, I missed one festival. So after the Shayana Harati, they make an offering to the deity, which is very special, which is not distributed outside. They have vada, hard vadas, sundal, that is chana beans, that chickpeas with skin. Then there is another hard round seed, what do you call that, I don't know its name, it's edible round thing which is fry, and they offer it. There are some special items we make only at that time. They offer it to Lord Narasimhadev inside before he goes to Shayana, and that is distributed to those who are present at the festival at that time. Only those they'll get inside. It's not distributed outside. So there are other offerings made in the morning hours, 3:30 to 7:30. But after the temple is open for darshan, when in the open times, they don't take offerings inside to the main deity. At that time, they make offerings only to Goda Devi.
I have a question. Inside, in front of the Jihad Nishringa deity, there's a small deity.
Yoga Narsimha, kind of. He's sitting in. That's a small Yoga Narsimha deity, Maharaj.
Yoga Nishringa.
Yoga Narsimha.
And is he used in festivals or?
They daily do the bathing of the deity for that. The Charanamrita which we get is the bathing of that deity. Because they cannot bathe the main deity, they bathe that deity and they distribute the Charanamrita.
How many priests total in the whole compound?
They must be having about 30 priests, Maharaj. But the people who actually do the worship of the main deity will be only about 10 or so. Others assist in various ways. Yes. Govinda Rajaswami. I don't know. It could be the completion of the marriage. Must be the end of the marriage. The Devi Kalyanam. It starts at 9, finishes around 10:30, and then the deity is taken on procession. Yes, Prabhu. Are the Alvars empowered personalities or they are internal potency of the Lord? I am not so learned in the history of the Alvars and their details, but Goda Devi is considered to be the internal potency of the Lord. But the other Alvars, they are all different Amshas of different personal, like Ramanujacharya is considered to be an avatar of Sesha. Like that, the different Alvars are supposed to be some personalities who are eternal associates of the Lord or paraphernalia of the Lord. So like that. But I do not know the details. Yes? There may be, but I do not know if there is one. There are so many pastimes that we, sometimes when we speak to the priest, they come up with something. So there could be one, but I am not aware of it. Once I heard of a pastime where Prahlad Maharaj was thrown from, and they are all authentic, they have references, was thrown from the top, and then Lord Narsingh, then Hiranyakashipu placed a huge rock on top of him so that he would not come out of the ocean. There is another pastime like that related to this place, but I do not know the detail of that. Yeah, once again, it could be there, but I have not heard it being spoken about. Because the top of the hill where the Gangadhara comes and all that, it's not an often visited place. People don't go so much to those areas. We just stop at the place where the Gangadhara is visible. After that, I have not seen people go. I have not also ventured into those places. So maybe there may be some history to those things. The Vaishnavas by themselves do not do it, but I think some Gaudiya Vaishnavas do come and do something, but it is not part of their regular temple festival. His question is there any devotional principle behind the Lord being covered by so much chandan? Now, all that I know of is that the Lord expressed that I have been inside a Valmikam, an anthill, and it was very cool, but now that has been exposed, I feel very hot. So please immediately bathe me with Gangadhara water and cover me with chandan. That was his request to Pururava, and then he was covered. If there are other things, you know. Yeah, the amazing thing is that everybody would accept, all these personalities will accept that the dharma for the Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy names. But they don't have a concept of chanting the holy names the way Lord Chaitanya has given to us. They consider their daily mantras and the Sahasranam every day they chant, that to be the chanting of the holy names. And they, in principle, they all agree that chanting of the holy name is the dharma for this age. Yeah. They chant Vishnu Sahasranam, or they may be having other mantras also, but generally everybody chants Vishnu Sahasranam. They may be having other initiated mantras which they chant. They have that some aksharis, some ashtakshari, dvadashaksharis, they have those things. Yes, Prabhu. They have the two lotus feet of the Lord and Lakshmi in between. I have not heard it that way. The description that I have heard from the authentic personalities there is that Prahlad requested the Lord, I would like to see you in a form in which you killed both my father and my uncle. And he manifested this deity form, and he worshipped, Prahlad worshipped this deity. Sometimes in some of these places, you will not be able to make out who is the authentic person, who is not, and many people, particularly in Sri Kurmam when we go, there will be many enthusiastic people who would like to speak. So, but this place is very pure. This kind of purity, I have not seen any other temples that I have visited in this area or have been to. This particular Simhacharam is very, they have maintained the tradition very faithfully. And particularly that's because of the principal persons, one or two, who have been strongly holding on to the faithfully to their predecessor acharyas, their teachers who have given them the tradition. That is not available in all temples, that kind of a lineage. But these people go through a very good, they educate them, and they are, I do not know about the Jati Gosai so much, I have not come across any of them, but these people are little, this particular sect of people, I am not talking about the general Sri Vaishnava, I am talking about local Sri Vaishnavas here, they are open minded, as I said, they were not like that initially, but now they are an open minded group, they very freely recognize, accept, in fact they see their own failings very clearly and they appreciate Prabhupada's movement very freely. So among them there are people who are quite pure, but fortunately, because one thing is there, the power of the past Acharya's devotional service in this place is still visible, because the children they give birth to, you can look at them and see that they are carrying the wealth of spiritual tradition handed down to them on a plate. They may not be able to use it because of the setting and the lack of systematic education and true shelter of a spiritual personality who can guide them, but they are being born with tremendous Brahma Sampati. They have so much wealth, you can see it, their ability to sit down and hear, their ability to chant the mantras, their simplicity at heart, something which we all struggle so much to get, and we have to really work hard and depend on the spiritual master so much, and somehow by the mercy of the spiritual master we get a iota of these qualities, but they are born with many of these qualities. So if they can get a devotional connection, the spiritual connection, they would probably shine like anything spiritually. The question is, the dressing of the deities, is it according to certain scriptures? They call it agama. Agama literally means that which comes down, that which is descending. So they have certain agamas which describe how the deity should be worshipped. Everybody cannot worship, dress the deity. There are only one or two priests who actually dress the deities. Everybody does not do that. So they train them very carefully, those who are dressing the deities and worshipping the deities personally. Particularly Govindaraja Swami is dressing the different alankaras on different days, on the festival days. Yes, it's a very detailed procedure. And there are scriptural authorities which describe how it should be done. Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very powerful acharya. So no resistance was resistance for him. So you will find in all places, you will find where Lord Chaitanya has visited, wherever he has travelled, he has instituted these lotus feet, even in places where there are very strong resistance. Even now, none of those, even you will find the same shrine in Sri Kurmam, where Lord Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's feet are there, Lord Chaitanya's feet are there, and with an inscription there, installed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on so and so year. But none of these Sri Vaishnavas visit that place. They don't. It's, unless some Gaudiya Vaishnava goes and takes care of it, it's desolate. So, all I can say is, he was a very powerful personality. He is...